words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. I'm really going to go off the deep end this morning. I don't think I've done that since I've been here with you guys. There's a little method to my madness, and it should start with an unequivocal apology. A lot of you know that I've been recovering from surgery. Tomorrow will be 5 weeks ago. Somebody said, well, what is it? Well, it's a little bit embarrassing, so I can describe it this way. I had a run-in with a dinosaur. So I had a problem with my rectosaurus. My friend said that it was kind of like a Dodge Hemi problem. So my uncle called it a facelift. But anyhow, because I'm diabetic, it actually takes a little longer to heal. And I am doing much better. And having said that, the first 3 weeks I was horizontal, I couldn't sit. And I actually found that I lost some strength. So that first Sunday I was back, I was really kind of weak. And it's taken me a while to sort of build my strength up again. On top of that, having to sit around, which I can't sit for very long, about the most is about an hour and a half now. Believe it or not, this page here took 1 hour to prepare. So the rule of thumb is for every 10 minutes, or every minute is an hour of preparation. So if you give a 15-minute sermon, that's 15 hours of sitting. You know, really, that's 15 hours of sitting, reading, researching, pulling books off the shelf, writing, going online, checking all this stuff out. And it really is an hour of sitting time. And, you know, with all that was going on this week, I got home Thursday night. And then I had drill yesterday. I actually had service, and thank you for the morning noon prayer. That went very well. So, I polished up the Independence Day sermon for that. And that's where I'm getting at. I had to polish last year's sermon. And I don't like doing that. I like to bring you a fresh, new sermon every Sunday. And largely I have been, except for the last couple of weeks. I've had to take something and rework it, rather than have that time I normally have to do a lot of background check. But the Lord was speaking to me at the altar, and that's why I'm coming off the page a little bit here, because I would have liked to have written another fresh sermon. And the reading, he says, be merciful because your Father is also merciful. Number one, be merciful. Number two, judge not lest ye be judged. That's number two. And by the way, this is another area I would have expounded on. You know, judging is one thing. Having an opinion is another. They're actually very different. You know, having an opinion is fine. But you have to also be careful that that opinion doesn't become judgmental. So we're looking at, number one, being merciful. Number two, we're looking at judging. Number three, it says, condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Number four, it says, the gospel says, forgive and ye shall forgive. In fact, that's the most, it's one of the most critical ones that I believe. In fact, let me underscore this entire sermon homily today. I think this is one of the most critical studies that we can have as Christians if we follow every one of these commandments. So going over it again, be merciful, judge not, condemn not, forgive and you shall be given. And then it says to, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Are we talking James Bond here? Is this, you know, what's that martini, you know, shaken, not stirred? I mean, when I read that, I'm thinking of James Bond. So, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running all over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured unto you. And I think that says in terms of mercy, you know, if you give a little mercy, you'll get a little mercy back. But if you give a lot of mercy, you'll get a lot of mercy back. Isn't that kind of how it works? So if you forgive completely, then you will be completely forgiven. You know, I think about that verse that if you can't address my father, how can I address you? If you can't forgive the other, how you expect me to forgive you? So forgiveness is one of the most difficult things that we have, especially if someone crosses us or gets in our way or hurts us or you know, contempts us, whatever reason that we are offended. It's much more difficult to forgive them. But you know, Christ is our example. What would Jesus do? You know, here he's on the cross. He's been bludgeoned practically to death. He's on his last breath, and he's bleeding like crazy. Did he ever raise his voice? Did he ever get angry with his torturers? You know, what an incredible example. And then on the cross he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So this parable today is terribly important, because it goes on to say, can the blind lead the blind? You know, I'm praying for my brother's eyes to be opened so he sees the errors of his ways. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above the master. That's another important lesson today. But everyone that is perfect shall be his master. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam in your own eye? I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I am the number one guilty party today, because I'm guilty of overjudging people. But let's go into that for just a minute. When Jesus tells us, judge not lest ye be judged, when we are judgmental, we are judging people's motives. And only God knows what's in that man's heart or that woman's heart. But when we act as if we know or behave as if we know, then are we not deceiving ourselves? I think about our good friend Sheriff Metz over in Columbia. And, you know, years of public service. And everyone I talked to in Columbia yesterday has already tried and convicted him. Now, in this society, aren't we supposed to be innocent until proven guilty? I'm sure he'll have his day in court. But think about it for a minute. Are we not prejudging? You know, in that case, I think we are. And Jesus is telling us, don't do that. Only God can do that, because only God knows what's in that man's heart and what his motivations are. So we really need to be careful not to judge. Now, there's a difference between opinion, between judging. There's actually good judging and bad judging. We're actually given the authority to judge. But if we don't, you know, if we take it the wrong way, we're doing wrong. It's almost a fine line. And a lot of our lives as Christians is walking a fine line. You know, we talked about in the earlier sermon about anger. You know, there's good anger and bad anger. You know, if it's angry against sin, that's good anger. But if it's an anger against people, that's a bad anger. So if we're judging, we can judge from this standpoint. So I'm going to give you some liberties here, and all of us, we're talking together as a family. Where can we judge and be in the right? We can judge by viewing the fruits of the vineyards. If the person, as Paul talks about in his epistles, and in Ephesians, he talks about, you know, if you've got mercy, if you've got forgiveness, if you're long-suffering, if you're good and kind, and all the Boy Scout rules, generous, you know, I can't even name all of them, but, you know, this sort of thing. However, if you're not going to church, if you're not helping your brother in need, if you're, you know, kind of about town, seeking out the joys and the things and the material things of this world, rather than being faithful and devoted to your church, you know, then, you know, the fruits bear themselves out, right? We then know that, in that way, that's not a being judgmental. That's actually viewing and taking stock. That's how I'd rather look at it. You know, we're taking stock. We're really not judging people erroneously. So that's something we need to be very careful. Then he goes on to say about forgiving, and you shall be forgiven. Very, very critical. You know, if you can't forgive someone, let me tell you who's the loser. If you can't forgive that person for that wrong, because what they did for you all those years ago, 20 years ago, or even last week, if you can't forgive that person, God can't forgive you. And who's the big loser? The loser is you. Why? Because you're carrying that burden. That is a sin that is like a yoke around your neck that you can't get away from. I tell people, well, why is confession so important? Confession is terribly important because once you go in and confess your sins, you are released of that burden. I have a cousin in Charlotte. I think he had a 50-year confession. And he went to the priest and he said, I came out of there soaring like an eagle. He said, Father Donnie, I went in and I'm talking. And I'm telling them all this. He said, I felt like I had to give a whole laundry list of all the sins of the past 20, 30 years. And, you know, the priest said, oh, just skip the little stuff. Just give me the major stuff. And he said, so he got on all the major stuff, and it lasted, what, an hour? And he truly said, when I left that confession, he said, I was soaring like an eagle. I was so refreshed. I was renewed. My spirit was there. And that the lesson is that if we don't forgive, we are creating a cancer that will eat us alive. So learn to forgive. It's terribly, terribly important. Forgiveness then becomes an art. I learned the art of forgiveness from two people I am closest to and love dearly. My father showed me how to forgive, and then my wife did as well. They showed me that to err is human, but to forgive is divine. My grandfather, by the way, Richard Hines knows this, was a rolling stone, like the Temptations song. Wherever he laid his hat, that was his home. And although he was a father of nine children, he kept many girlfriends and led an immoral life, being this distiller of illegal whiskey. My father despised him and deplored the verbal and physical abuse his father carried out on his siblings and his mother. And there may be some psychological studies that reveal behavior is often carried from one generation to another until the chain is broken. And therein lies where I admire my father the most, because as a Christian man, he broke that chain of abuse. He never abused his children. He found forgiveness in his heart for his father, as difficult as it was. I remember him telling me one time, he was driving over to see his mom and dad. He actually drove, the car turned in front of him. He realized it was his dad with one of his girlfriends. He said, I wanted to run him over and kill him. And he said, but, you know, I found the best of me and I kept from doing that. And I went on to see my mom and we had a good time together. But, you know, he learned to forgive as difficult as it was. And I believe that God blessed my father, if nothing else, for this forgiveness. In my wife's case, her father was an abusive man as well. And my wife said that she reached a point in her mid-teens that she wished her father were dead. But my wife is a Christian and she finally found forgiveness in her heart. And here again, I believe that God has blessed her because she forgave her father. And nearly in their early years, like all of us, both my grandfather and my father-in-law made choices. Seeds were planted, and that was their choice. Years later, they had become angry old men. And on the matter of choice, I believe we're constantly planting seeds in our souls. If we plant good seeds, then we will reap good fruit. But if we plant bad seeds, then we will reap bad fruit. And we can choose to forgive or not. But I can assure you, when we forgive, we will gain our freedom, not theirs. Not to forgive entraps us in a sin. And if we do not repent of our sins and seek His forgiveness, which we do every service at this altar, then our unforgiving nature would ultimately destroy us, like I said earlier, like a cancer. So in closing, we read about the mote that's in our brother's eye, but perceive not the beam in our own eye. We learn in psychology and the study of family systems that the practice of self-examination is a good thing. And when we examine ourselves, we find areas of improvement and places that we can grow. So we should look at our inner selves and develop our character and our spirit. And the Holy Scriptures is a guide for good character development and becomes the example for all us Christians. It is important how we are viewed by God and our peers. And we should ask, do others see Christ in us? Or are we living according to the summary of the law? Or do we treat others as we expect to be treated? Therefore, judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, lest ye be unforgiven. Be good examples of Christian behavior and a good judge of character, not a character who is judgmental. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.